Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's merchmonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound. Simon.
Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. This weekend saw Limerick crowned All-Ireland champions in St. Aherlan. Cork won two All-Irelands, and today Tipperary were let down by the news that Liam Cahill will not manage Tipperary in 2022. And that's where we'll start. I'm joined again by Enda Tracy from Tumi Vera, Sean Smith from Turles Sarsfield. Enda, initial thoughts, Liam Cahill isn't coming back.
Savage disappointment was the first reaction. And like, we were hearing the rumor mill was on overdrive all week, saying he was coming, he wasn't coming, he was coming. But like, you felt that like it was just too perfect an opportunity for him. You know, it was we had 3 years with Liam, and then we had him to come and back us up after Liam packed it in. It looked like it was laid out for him with the under-20s there, and the under-21s, he knows the lads so well. And, you know, the trip to Waterford must have been difficult the last couple of years for all the tip lads on the coaching ticket with him. He just thought it was a match made in heaven, like, and it was all done, but just to sign the dotted line. But I just don't know what's happened in the last week or two. It's been kind of all over the place.
Yeah, Sean, I suppose if you're to believe what's been said, Liam met the county board late last week to discuss whatever they needed to discuss. And by all accounts, the job was his if he wanted it. So it seems it's more that Liam turned the job down than it wasn't offered to him. Like, but I mean, obviously we're only just, that's hearsay, but it's very disappointing, isn't it, from a county board point of view and from a tip supporting point of view.
Yeah, especially kind of, he's the man that's on everyone's lips, to be fair, and he's a man that was, you could say, set up for the position when it came available. And you kind of rather know if we just said initially, I'm not going, I kind of kidding, but like we all got kind of, no hope. So we thought we're kind of in there. We all want to, you know, we all said the same thing. And now we're kind of looking back at what do we do wrong and what do Watford do right. But like kind of wondering what could Watford done instead of ourselves. Like that's where I kind of wondering now.
Yeah. So in the, I suppose, look, we'll moving on from Liam Cahill, because there's no point in talking about it. He's going back to Watford. He'll be on the other, in the other dugout next year when the round robin starts again. But what are we looking at candidate wise? I mean, we've heard of Darry Egan's name being mentioned. I suppose Darren Gleeson from the Port Roman is managing Antrim, and they did quite well last year. But what are our options in your opinion?
Yeah, sure. Darry Egan's been touted there heavily, but as far as I know, he's not too eager to take it on yet. I think he feels maybe he's very young. He's still very young, and he's only starting out in his coaching career really the last 3, 4, 5 years. So, you know, it'd be a big undertaking for him, and if it went wrong, then it'd be an uphill struggle for him again to get a good job around again. So, other than him, look, Darren Gleeson's done very well with Antrim, but again, he's in the same type of boat. He's only recently retired. He's only coached in a week really, and outside of him, we were discussing it beforehand. Maybe Brendan Cummins, but he hasn't much done other than been, what was he, a selector for Kerry and Leash.
Yeah.
So, like, is he ready for it either? You don't know. The best candidate, in my eyes, is Willie Maher. Yeah. You know, he's done the time underage with tip teams, and he's been on the circuit there the last few years, learning his trade as well, up with Coole and a few clubs. So, like, I'd be leaning towards Willie Maher now, but it's not cut and dry like it was with Cahill, you know. It's hard to know what the right appointment will be like.
Yeah, Sean, I suppose I'd be hoping that even though the county board did meet Liam Cahill last week, I would hope that they didn't put all their eggs in one basket and have possibly met a couple of other candidates as well as Liam Cahill. But what do you think? What would you your preferred direction be now that Liam is going back to Waterford?
Well, kind of firstly, I hope they had a plan B anyway. If you don't, were silly, like, to be fair. But as Enda said there, the names he's mentioned are all I can think of, like, as well. Like, Darry Egan's probably front runner from what we heard over the last week or two, if he doesn't get it. But then when he said, as Willie Maher, CV is as good as anyone, will he be approached to the thing? It's hard to think of, and tip, we don't go outside the county either. Like, we're not going to do that. But I like to kind of see him have some plan B and, again, not rush into, but we're going to have some directive where to go. Like, you know, the club championships are starting up this weekend. Like, so players want to know who they have to impress, technically speaking. I know anyone that's interested in getting a tip job will be at the game. There's no question asked, but, and they'll be doing the research. But
yeah,
you want to have kind of some fever for the county board or some sort of idea what way they're going.
What way did Coole go in the Dublin championship last year? Did they win it, or were they beaten in the final or semi-final?
I think they won it, yeah, and I think they were beaten early enough in Leinster.
In Leinster, yeah.
I think he won a county final with them anyway. It's obviously cooler. They're like the Harlem Globetrotters of Dublin hurling up there. Like it's not exactly a massive challenge to take them to a county title. They're more for Leinster titles and All Irelands at this stage in their progression, but. Look, Willie Maher, like, other than the couple of games there towards the end of his tenure there where they were beaten by Waterford and got a lot of criticism for that, like, he had a good record with tip underage teams, you know?
Yeah.
And, look, you can't be judging a lad on one game either. Like, you have to look at the entire CV he has, and he hasn't stopped managing since then, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's the right go of it, and I think he has the right temperament for it as well.
Yeah, just you mentioned that Waterford game, and I know I read that somewhere before about Maher, and that people didn't like him because he when the ship was going down again in that Waterford game, he didn't make any changes. But I mean, if I'm to play devil's advocate, when the ship was going down with Waterford this year, Liam Cahill didn't do anything against Limerick to stop that tide either. I mean, they were comprehensively beaten in the semi final.
Yeah, you've seen it a lot of times.
Yeah.
The same with Brian Cody in the 16 All-Ireland and
yeah.
even the 19 All-Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as making changes, and it's definitely going to work, sure.
If
you don't feel the plan B is going to be any better, sure, you know.
There's nothing you can do. Them games are dead and buried.
And especially no with underage games. Like, I mean, sure, Jesus, Liam Cahill himself, I mean, what is it, 2018 Munster final, sure, I mean, they were hammered out the gate with no comeback. But yeah, look, we could be bouncing from one Ballingarry man to another for our next manager.
There's really two jobs as well. Sure, under-20s are vacant as well, so...
Yeah.
Surely they were interviewing for both, and maybe there'll be a drip down to who they were interviewing for the under-20 gig as well if they didn't have a plan B for the senior. So
yeah, well, I think that's probably very important, and I hope that whatever way we go, that there is a tie-in between the 20s and especially now, I suppose, when we're looking to probably rebuild a bit, that there is maybe one of the selectors is managing the 20s and then able to know who is good enough and what kind of player they want to progress through to the senior set.
Yeah, we just have to park it now. Forget about Liam Cahill. And we have to move on, and like, we can't stay still waiting for a lad that we think will do a good job to come and do a good job. He turned down the job at the end of the day, like, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That won't be forgotten either. Like, I think it might come back to bite him in the end, but look, it is disappointing. At the end of the day, he was the best candidate and he's very good at what he does. But look, something happened in the background. So
three years, I suppose, is a long time in GAA. And I mean, whoever, as we've said, whoever gets the tip job, it's a 3, 4, maybe 5 year job. And like, things could, the whole landscape of tip GAA could be totally different in that amount of time, from the top table right down to the bottom. Guys that are 15, 16 now are suddenly 21, you know, and it's and they could be stars of that team. So look, I suppose over the next week or two, hopefully it's resolved quick enough, especially with county championship starting. And there's a manager in place. I think it's a 5-man team on the county board that are to pick it. Chairman, secretary, treasurer, vice chairman and PRO. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with now on both fronts. Staying with the inter-county game, lads, an awesome performance out of Limerick last Sunday in the All-Ireland final. Was it up there with Kilkenny 2008?
Oh, the way they demolished them, it definitely was. They had that ruthlessness of to them, and they just didn't give Cork any ray of light at all. I haven't said that. I felt Cork were... I don't remember. I don't know how far back you go, Mike. You're old enough, I suppose, but I don't ever remember a Cork team rolling over like that in any match, at any grade, at any stage of the year. I thought they were... the word for them is... I thought they were pathetic, like, on the day.
I remember back, was it the start of the league this year or 12 months ago when Brendan Cummins and Donal Cusick were on the Sunday game, or the league Sunday, or whatever it was, and Cummins called Cork soft and Cusick went bananas over it. But like, harping back to Liam Cahill, was it 2018 All-Ireland final when we got 4 goals in the first 5 or 6 minutes? That Cork team were soft, and that looked like Limerick could do that to them last weekend again, didn't it?
Yeah. No, their heads went down very quickly, and the game plan that they have, look, there's a high percentage chance that there's going to be mistakes and Limerick punish them, but they kept doing the same thing over and over again. Just simple things, short passes to hand, they were dropping it, the first touch was dodgy. I don't think they actually believed that they could beat Limerick. Mm. Look, Limerick are a much better team than them. Look, at the end of the day, I think Cork were lucky enough to get to an All-Ireland in the first place. Tony Kelly buries that goal. Like, realistically, Clare should have beaten them that day.
Yeah. Sean, they got a soft route to the All-Ireland final, in my opinion. Clare, who we had already beaten. Kilkenny, who I don't consider this Kilkenny team is up there in the ranks of great teams. And I suppose it shows how poor Leinster is, that they won the Leinster Championship pulling up, and you know, we still don't rate them. Like, so were they lucky? Maybe similar to Waterford last year, and that they got a fairly nice run to the final?
Yeah, for sure. And even ourselves before, we're kind of counting right before they hatched, saying they beat Waterford, beat Kilkenny in Ireland final. We're like going, geez, this ideal like kind of route. No. And kind of a clatter there, but like, Waterford Cork kind of got there, like, did they have to kind of dig deep in any of the games? Like, and I know against Kenny, they did in the end, but like he would have fancied him beating Kenny, like, Tip would have fancied beating Kenny as well at that time. But Limerick in the first half, Cork just came out then and it was over. Like, it was people, like, we watched the match second half, kind of, you know, to watch the back, to kind of realize again what happened. It was just then very, like, the first half is awesome, like 3-18, phenomenal. Like, you, as I was saying there, I watched Aaron Paul a few, it was like years ago, predicting the score for a match, you might go 120 to 119. No, them predict the score things, like, them days are gone, like, they're blowing out of the water. Like,
they had 3-18 conceded at that time, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous conceding that, like, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is, and I suppose, I look, obviously, the John Kiley, Paul Kenner combo are very good tactically, but Jesus, Kieran Kingston was really found out having no tactical new at all. Like, I mean, he even Jesus, to put 10 people behind the ball and just shore it up would have been a tactic, and they never went down that route at all.
Yeah, they were forewarned as well. Sure, they played Limerick in the last league game, and they didn't change anything with the way they play, in even into the Munster game and into the All Ireland again. So, like, I, you know,
they weren't going to outrun or outscore Limerick. No, which is what
he
did.
Ian Lynch absolutely destroyed Mark Coleman, and he destroyed him in the league. He destroyed him in the first round of the championship, and they still went back with Coleman at centre back on Lynch.
Yeah, yeah. But you're looking at Robert Downey as well, fullback, lads. People raving about him after the Kenny game. Like, I couldn't see it. Like, my first memories of him is it in the Munster under 21 game? He was coming off before half time against Tip. He was starting wing back, and I was like,
yeah.
You mentioned that actually weeks ago, and then one of us, if he's laying out there, they're in trouble. Like,
oh, should Flanagan had it out of his ease. Like,
he did, yeah.
That, like, Cork are a long way off. Still, I think their problem for the last 10-15 years has been backmen, and they're just not producing them.
Their whole full backline was destroyed.
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Sure, Peter Casey, before his injury, had 5 points, got in 19 minutes. I mean, Niall O'Leary, was it? I mean,
yeah. Should have been destroyed repeatedly in loads of different matches over the years against different teams. Like,
I don't see any All Ireland in that Cork team, and to be quite honest with you. I mean, if you were to rank them in Munster, I still don't put them into top three. Like,
yeah. No, they're a long way off. They'll be hoping that they've a few good backmen now in that under 20 team, and
yeah,
that Kieran Joyce lad has a bit of potential. And look, it'll be a few years. They're probably in a similar boat to us, I think, where they're going to have to build with young lads over a couple of years. I don't think they'll be beating Limerick anytime soon. Anyway,
no. Well, by the looks of things, nobody will be beating Limerick anytime soon. But look, we saw in 2008, Kilkenny destroyed Waterford, and the following year we came very close to beating them in an Ireland final. So things can change very quickly in 12 months in Ireland, as we all know. Look, I suppose that's all for the inter-county game at men's level anyway in 2022. A disappointing year from a Tip point of view, I suppose, but I suppose we have the club to look forward to now, lads. Division finals were on the weekend. Clonalty, Thurles, Killadangan, Killinall were the senior winners in the four divisions. No real shocks, I would say, bar maybe Killinall, but the south is Killinall and Mulnahone is always going to be a toss of a coin anyway, isn't it?
No real surprises there, I think. In our final, I know you were watching it on the stream, but I thought there was great cutting it. I thought it was a great game. Killeron kept it into Killadangan fairly well. Now there was only, it was a draw game with about 6 or 7 minutes left, and Killadangan just have that reserve in their locker. They just have goals at any time, and Dan O'Mara got the goal there a couple of minutes from time and killed the game. But I'm surprised by Killeron because they started so slow in the air, and I wasn't expecting much from him. They're hurling right well. They've Seamus Hennessy inside full forward, like he's not moving much, but like he's a good focal point for their attack up there. And that's Jerry Cattle, I thought he was very good. Like
speaking of those under 21 teams, Jerry Cattle and Billy Seymour were both top class performers in that game, weren't they? I think Billy got man of the match actually, didn't he? But like, I mean, they really stood out.
Yeah, Billy's got serious potential. Like, he's a habit of missing easy chances, though. He's done that a few times for Tip, and geez, he missed two clear-cut points in front of the goals there last day as well. I think he's just snatching at a few things. If you could tidy that up very quickly.
Yeah. But I mean,
he's a big coach and... big unit. He's quick. He's a good striker of the ball.
Yeah.
He's a good target man there. Like he's got great potential. But Gerry Cahill, I'm a massive fan of him. He's only small in size, but like the pace of him and the vision of him and his ability to get the ball out of the ruck is unbelievable for the lad of size of him. It's unreal. Like.
Yeah, I think just having looked at that game, whoever does get the tip manager's job, I mean, that is the first port of call for me, is getting Gerry Cahill on board. His energy, his ability is something that we are sorely lacking. I thought he was excellent. Now, I'd say if Killaran had won, he was man of the match. And I suppose that's when Kildangan won, that's why Seymour got it. But yeah, he was excellent. I know I was saying it wasn't a St. Joe, I didn't think it was great, but the first half was poor, but it certainly livened up very much in the second half. But there was a lot of hard hitting going on in the first half of it.
Yes, it was great to see you. And I was only after watching the All-Ireland as well. Yeah. So, you know, you're going from absolutely nothing happening to getting annihilated. And then
One thing I did notice then was Barry Hogan. Barry Hogan has a monster of a poke out. I mean, he landed a couple of poke outs down into the opposition just outside their 21. We never saw that with Tip. I know that the long poke out is gone, but it's an option and it puts teams on the back foot, doesn't it? Because you just don't know what he's going to do.
It does, yeah. He's a monstrous puck. I remember we played him in Clochjordan and I was like, Jez, there must be a massive wind here. He was landing down the full forward line. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But isn't it the easiest way to transfer the ball up the pitch? Like, it puts serious pressure on the back line if you're lumping it down and you're crowding under it. Yeah. And Kildangan use it to great effect. Like, they always have lads zooming around for the breaks and it works for them. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, all of a sudden, the half back line are sitting 10 yards further back, you know, trying to be under that puck out. And it probably does free up options out around the field and that. So it was. Yeah, it's a good win for Kildangan though, and they look to be still on course to retain their county title.
Yeah, they're very good. If one lad is going wrong, there's a couple of different lads popping up with scores, and just they've great pace, they've a good balance in their team, great scorers. They're just a very good team. Like they're favourites in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, they're certainly up there. Sean, Turles Arsfield's re took the mid-crown. Paddy Maher got man of the match. Vintage's play from the Sayers looked in trouble earlier on, though. Lochmore came out of the blocks firing.
Yeah, for all accounts, Lochmore has under pressure there. A good few points down. Aidan McGrath dropped the ball into the goal. Was again, another Lochmore goalie. Again, like it's something, I know it's for a different day, but they need to kind of sit on a goalie, not putting in outfield players. He played well then apart from that, but that gave us a lifeline back into the start in the first half, and he just drove on from there. Park Maher's fullback, that's where he should just be leaving there. He's catching everything, rolling centre back. They're scoring points, passing the ball in. Then our full forward line, then Paddy Cream, Dennis Maher, that worked their socks off. So, like, a good performance and good momentum to keep going. Like, and I like the way Downing and Downing has put a good kind of style into ourselves and kind of our work rate from forwards is exceptional, to be honest. Own person there blocked down the lag coming out in the first half. No right team block him down. They got a score off it, you know, and then things kind of turned the games and other years might see that kind of work rate. So it's a win, but Lochmore were missing a good few marquee kind of lads, as Sweeney and a few other lads kind of that would be on the team. So there's a few lads playing that probably won't be there at the end of the year, but we'll take the win and go from there for sure.
Yeah, I know I said it to you while the game was on, but and I think in this, it is Paddy Creedon is a unit, right? He's able to hurdle too.
Yeah, for sure. And lifted a minor cup last night, under 19 cup, captain for ourselves. And Fierce Borland had a good handle on him, two lads on him, but he needs that kind of American. His hurdle has gone on in the past couple of weeks, has gone on unteen amounts, like his left football panel, and that's probably the hurling point, you know. He's young, he's a focal, put him in there, and he's off Dennis Maher, and then you've like one person, the smaller lad beside him. The ball is breaking off, and they're letting nothing out, but he's one definitely that I can't wait to see it up against the bigger teams in the county championship.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of dynamic the Sayers have in the up front. Dennis Maher, who I think he scored 5 or 6 goals in the mid-championship, and Paddy Creedon, who are both well-built, over 6 foot, and they have that option, Sarah's now, of just lumping the ball into the full forward line if they're ever in trouble, don't they?
Yeah, it's different from the Sarahs we've seen the last 10 years with just the pace zooming around at the forwards with Laren, Stephen Cahill and all them. And,
yeah,
you know, look, we were saying about the long puck outs from Kildangan, like, it is effective if you use it right. I know Hurling's gone very regimented with the hand passing and the running off the shoulder, but look, there's still room for it in the club game for sure. I mean, you've lads the size of Dennis Maher and Paddy Creedon when they can hurl as well. They're serious target men. Yeah. Thought Stephen Cahill was good the other day. I know he was dropping fierce deep, hurled a lot of ball, and just the two Mahers again were fucking, they were excellent. Like,
yeah.
I think Paddy seems to be getting better.
There's no slowdown. Again,
he seems to be going back to his younger days. The way he's hurling at the moment, like he's just unreal. Like, and now with Cahill not coming in, you'd wonder if he has another few years left in the tank. But like he's going to be important. They look like they're really setting up a stall for the year, and they really want to win the county title again. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they would fare inside the stadium, and you know, when the stadium would traditionally have suited the way Sarah's play, and they could get caught in a kind of a Holy Cross or a Drumban or somewhere like that. Whereas when they went into the stadium, it really brought life into them. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. From a Lochmore point of view, the McGraths, I suppose John McGrath looked very sharp, especially early on, and Noel got. It'll be hard to see a point better than at the one off the side that they worked off the sideline, a cracking point into the bridge goals, we'll say in Holy Cross. But was it Kieran Connolly was missing for them?
Sweeney up front as well.
Evan must be 36 or 7.
But Evan would have been better than what they have instead of him. He's going to get a few points every game. He's a lad you have to mark. He's, you know, even though his age is that age, but he's still
playing. Even if you're trying Evan into the goals, and then you've Aidan McGrath out to field, like Aidan McGrath's lost out to field there.
Evan played goals, what, 2 or 3 years ago, kind of before David Kennedy came in.
Yeah. So, like, Aidan McGrath's important to them there in the half-back line as well. He was a bit of a loss there.
But going to go now, football, like someone saying they're in a match, like if they keep going in both codes, like 14 weeks in a row or something, like it's...
Yeah. But I suppose they are the type of team that kind of revel in that, don't they? You know, the week on, just going from week to week and switching. And we saw it last year where they went to both county finals.
Yeah.
It doesn't faze them.
Yeah, but then they won't need it then, you know, it is, what's the end goal at the end of it? Like, you know, come away, no cup, you have to have to come away with something.
I think they just they tailor their training accordingly. Like, they know they're going to be getting...
They probably don't. So. Yeah, they're not going to do much training. Pretty recovery session. And
just recovery is all again. They do. Like, sure, they're used to now, like, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, and then out west, Clonoulty again won their second 6 in a row, or their 12th title in 15 years here in West Tipperary. It was a tough game. Sean, you were there against Cashel. There was a lot of hard hitting going into it, but I think overall Clonoulty were the better team on the day, weren't they?
Clonoulty had a bit of class in the end. They scored, they just tipped points over when they knew they were kind of needed to get a few on the board, but had a proper kind of division final feel about it. There was a big crowd, there was hits, there was dubious decisions, there was lads on sideline roaring in our players. No, it was very, it was good. It was interesting from a neutral point of view for sure, but Cash, to be fair, like, they're going to be around for a while. Aaron Brown was in goals, made one exceptional save. Sure, Brown thought it was so. He's trying to do a lot. Again, it's a team that's really fitting into seeing where he is. Ryan Dwyer is a handful. Could have got 5 red cards, could have got none. Like, you know, he's that kind of player. He's on the edge the whole time. But, you know, Clonoulty had to pop over the scores at the end, and they had lads of good points from out of field. But Cashel, they missed 2 goal chances in the second half. They could have had them bang there, but no, anything that's playing Cashel this year in the ring would be kind of not worrying, but they'd have to have some sort of tactics against the few marquee lads, you know, and Colony there as well. Like, so.
Yeah, I know Cashel were disappointed, but I mean, really, like the 5 new players into their starting lineup, it's going to take a while for them to get in. And I think every game they'll probably get better as it goes on. It'll just take a while for that to settle for them. Clonoulty, Dylan probably didn't really stand out as much as he should have been a county man. But Mikey Winnie in the middle of the field was exceptional for
that. Oh, yeah. Class. Winnie got 2 points front of me there and said not stand to the offside, and he just off turned over the bar. You know, there were.
Yeah. He was always
good at scores. Like, you know, Dylan Cork was kind of touch and go for most of them, but then them lads are always marked. You always have another pair of eyes in them lads again. Like, but then they had the other lads out the field that could stay at point instead of pumping one Dylan Cork the whole time. Like, yeah. Clonty come in there about the whole time, they are. Like, there's no two ways about.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Clonty will probably be, they mightn't be in the Thurles and Killadangan, I suppose, range at the moment. But I mean, if they got a run like they did a couple of years ago, they're going to trouble anyone that they come up against in the county championship. Intermediate finals were on. The biggest game of the weekend was in Tiptown Saturday. I brought you along for the spin, Sean. See, Kappa win their first West Intermediate title. Big celebrations in the village the weekend.
Jeez, he did, and he fucked it away, to be honest. Jesus Christ. All the hurling and then going to extra time. Jesus. It was a cracking game, to be honest. Jesus, it was an exceptional game. Like, no, some great hurlers on the show. Emi for Golan was, he was throwing the out ball really, but he's some player, like, as well.
Yeah, Jack Emi was excellent. I mean, if anyone wants to have a look at, it's up on the West Tip GA YouTube page, but Leamy was, I think he scored 5 points over the course of the hour, and then he did a couple of frees as well. And I mean, there was at one point he grabbed the ball straight from a puck out in between two lads, and he hit it into the full forward line when he had a chance to try drive it over the bear. And if he had, I think Golden would have driven on from it. But we dug it out well, something that we're not renowned for, I suppose, and which is something that has been a problem for us over the years. So we'll have to dig in out 2 games. So hopefully we'll carry that on into the county championship with a couple of injuries come back.
That's the one thing about the divisional games, it's giving teams some momentum. When I noticed this point tipping knocked out early, but you kind of see from me not all division finals around place that it is something that teams want to win them, and you know it's teams going into the county leagues or county groups now probably have an edge in the other ones, to be fair.
There's a huge appetite for them. I mean, we'd say the scramble for tickets for club games in all the divisions has been quite good. You know, people are mad looking to go to games. Down south, Ballingarry won the South Intermediate at the first time Baskin, and up in the mid, Mine had a big win over Borland. And without Conor Bow, I think, Sean.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, this point result for Borland thought to be close, but Mine, as we said, even remember doing the start of the interview, Mine are up there intermediate, one of the best teams at that grade. Like, there's not.
Yeah, and the North Intermediate final ended, that's going ahead on the 4th of September, Moneygall and Boris Kane.
Yeah, it was postponed. I think there was a few COVID cases there in Boris Kane, so better safe than sorry, I suppose. Yeah, that'll be a good enough match, I think. It's going to be probably Moneygall or probably the farm team coming into it, but there's very little between any of those North teams and the intermediate grade.
Yeah. That kind of wrap up the divisional side of things. That final is on a football weekend in 2 weeks' time. So this weekend, lads, the big stuff starts, county championship. The first round games are on this weekend. Group one of the senior hurling championship has Thurles Sarsfields, Drumminch, Upper Church, and Anacharty. Are we looking at 2 wins for the Sayers and the Church?
Playing Drum now this again, Drum didn't exactly get run at all in the mid. Carrick turned them over convincing enough. So it's hard to know where Drum are at. With that, you know, Sayers are going well from the division, but Sayers Drum is always. There's now rivalry there that's gone beyond rivalry this stage, so it'll be like any game teams are from, it'll be where a team shows up in the day and digs deep to win that. You know, it's on the stadium there at 4:30 Saturday.
Don't be beating around the bush, Sean. Just say what you really mean there.
Because you're not afraid to say what you think of Drum in the WhatsApp group, so.
No comment, disclaimer. But no, to be that first game, the first group game will tell a lot. Like, as in Upper Church, you fancy got off against your Rogue. They've run out of steam against those in the middle in the last couple of minutes, and the other great came up to that. And it's hard to know kind of a Rogue rat. Might know more yourself than Michael A. Rogue, would you?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a tough in the the Cashel game in the West, and they have a couple of injuries, and Kevin Fox is out, I believe, for the year. Like, he'd be a big loss for them. And look, Errol are not easily beaten. And I mean, they went up against Gishan as a 2 years ago with no hope.
Oh, geez, yeah.
7 point winners. And you know, there's a performance like that in Anacharty. And I would imagine they're looking at the Church game going, this is one that we'll have a right cut off, you know. And they do start well. So it's hard to look past Church based on the divisional thing, but as you said, first round of the county championship can always throw up a surprise.
Yeah, and that day, Aero against those in Dundrum, they just couldn't do that wrong. You know, they could do that again. There's nothing to say they won't. So it will be, but getting the first win is key. Like, if Aero lose there, are the second round draws made, are they, Mike?
No, I don't know. So, well, like, maybe the draws are made, but the fixtures are
fixed. Yeah, like, say if they end up playing, having to play the Sarah the second round, you know, and if they do get defeated again, it'd be pumped to the foot there, trying to stay in, get a third spot. You don't want to go down to Torin, like any team that's in it doesn't want to be in relegation, yeah. Battle, to be fair.
Yeah, Group 2, then in the season, your beloved Tumi Vera going up against Cathal Barrett and Brian O'Mara's Holy Cross with Mullen Hone and Clonalty. How are you looking at it?
Well, there was a lot of hard truths after the Killadagan match. It was a result we really didn't need going into the county. Before that, if you had to ask me, I thought we were looking fairly good this year and kind of settling on a team and a game plan that suits the players. And we were hurling relatively well in the league matches and the challenge matches, but obviously that's not a proper gauge. And, you know, we bet Silver Mines in the North, for sure. That was really a mismatch, so you couldn't really gauge much for it. Now, we were missing three of our better players, but at the same time, Killadagan were missing three county men as well, so kind of balances itself out. But we're still without Kevin McCarthy, and we'll have Russell Cork back. Kenny Ryan has started doing a bit of training, so he might be coming on as a sub. So look, I think the word is that the lads got stuck in the following week in training. There was plenty of digging going on in the training match and getting it out of their system. I think Coley Cross are missing Brian O'Mara. I think he broke his hand, you were saying there. So
yeah,
he'll be a massive loss out of centre back. And you know, when you lose him there, then you're going to have to take Cathal Barrett out of another position. So it's he's going to be a big loss for him. So look, yeah. I'd be expecting us maybe to get over the line by a couple of points. I don't think it'll be anything comprehensive. Holy Cross are well able to put it up to anyone. So I'd fancy us in that one, yeah.
Yeah, Mullen Hone, Clonalty then, the other one, Clonalty coming off the West win, obviously Mullen Hone coming off losing the South. What way do you see that one going?
Say that'll be a good match, you know. Obviously, Clonalty, you know better than me. You saw the match last day, but they seem to be going well. You know, Mullen Hone, I'd say they're disappointed to lose that South final, because you want that confidence coming in when you're the promoted team. And look, I was looking at the scores there. They were kind of struggling for scores from play. I think Kelly scored 8 or 9 frees again, and they're going to need to be producing more from play if they're going to beat a team like Clonalty. So I might imagine Clonalty will have enough to win that one.
Yeah. Group 3 then, Sean, repeated last year's county final, first game of the championship on tomorrow evening in the stadium, Killadagan and Loughmore. A cracker of a game to open the championship.
Geez, yeah, for sure. And I'll be trying to tune into that there on the stream. It's live on the stream if anyone's interested. Well, so like, Clagan were good in the north, dig deep. Like Loughmore against ourselves is kind of strange game. The way they start off strong and fail away. They might have a few extra lads back for this Friday, but again, it's only to be 5. Like, it's not a long turnaround. Like, when played on Sunday, they're playing the match now tomorrow even. You have to fancy Clagan, but like, they're two of the top 4 or 5 teams in the county going at in the first round of championship. It's some way to start off. Again, Loughmore used to stadium. Like, John McGrath, Noel will pop points over from anywhere inside the boundary lines. There's no two questions asked there. So this kind of game seems like the game for the top spot in the group. Nothing against Brackens or McCarthy, but that's kind of the way it looks on paper, to fair.
Yeah, so that other game, obviously, as you mentioned there, Brackens versus McCarthy. Brackens, who were, I suppose, very disappointed with their performance in the first round of the mid, and McCarthy, who overturned Drum and lost out to yourselves, was it, in the semi-final?
Yeah. No, was it ourselves? just came in. Action.
Three
bit upper shirts.
Oh no, Lockmore. They beat
Lockmore. Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to think. Do we play? I was like, yeah, I remember beating McCarthy, didn't
they? They lost out to Lockmore.
Yeah, but like McCarthy are like in that game, you actually found some McCarthy on the way both teams went. Like I watched Bracken's against Lockmore, and they were completely weren't that racist. Carrick were good for all accounts against Drummond. Lockmore pulled away in the end, like they did, a bit of class there. But Bracken's may have been trouble there if they lose that game against McCarthy, and then they play Clang and Lockmore to try and get something out of group. So it's a very interesting group, to be fair, lads. It's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And then group four of the county championship sees Ros Gray and Borsalee in round one, and Nina and Killaran. Four North teams in the Nina Killaran would start to them, and that's obviously going to be a cracker of a game.
Yeah, I was talking to a few Nina lads looking at the match the other day, and they're a bit nervous looking at Killaran. They hurled right well. Nina put it up to Killadangan as well. I think they're, by all accounts, they're unlucky not to win that match. Similar enough pattern to the Killaran game. Killadangan just got a goal and a point there at the end to see it out. So yeah, that group on paper is very tight. Could come down to score difference very easily for the second spot. I fancy a draw on the Killaran and Nina match, to be honest. I don't see a whole lot between them the way they're hurling at the minute. So, and on the other side of it, Burris Lee and Ros Gray, look, Burris would be very disappointed with the way they went out in our championship. They were kind of just gelling Dan and Brendan back into the team. They hadn't much done as a collective there, so I'd imagine they'll nick past Ros Gray, but that won't be a foregone conclusion either. They'll be given plenty of it in the game, but very tight group.
Yeah. One thing is with Ros Gray there, like Ros Gray here over the years, they've all got close, but in the last couple of minutes, they'll throw away a lead or they'll always give a team a chance. So like, if you can overturn that, they might upset one of the odds in that group, especially with Dwayne Allen and them were hurting, like they have a few lads that can do that.
Yeah, and Ian are missing Conor McCarthy as well out of the full back line. I think there's a bit of a weakness there. They had a young 18-year-old Paul McLaughlin playing cornerback the last time. I think he had a hard game, so I think their full back line's a bit vulnerable, but it's hard to see past Nina either, but I think there'll be a draw on that one. So yeah, we'll do predictions in a while, but that'll be a tight group overall.
Yeah, we'll say the group itself, it doesn't have any divisional winner. So one of the big guns is going out of the county championship in the round robin, and it's probably the tightest group of the lot of them, isn't it?
Savagely tight. It's like a mini North championship, really. They've all teams that have beaten each other in the last couple of years at different times of the year, so very hard to call even the order of that group, let alone who will win it. So,
and like Killaran having the fallback, it's Beclang in North final, that's their fallback, and that's why they're going forward. Like that's
Yeah.
So, lads, we'll do a little prediction competition between the Premier View. We'll put up all the games, and we'll each pick who we think we're going to be the winners from the three grades. And I suppose, Inda, you'll probably think you're going to come out on top again. Sean will probably make a mess of it because you think just transfers or something. we'll get the lads to throw that up on social media, and we'll have a bit of crack with that over the coming weeks. We'll just have a quick look at the Seamus O'Rean groups. We won't go into them with as much detail, but group one has the Swan versus the Sayers and Burgess versus Killadangan. Again, they'll be tight games. You'd imagine would Burgess and the Swan be the favourites to get over the two second teams?
Yeah, you kind of would. It's between ourselves and Killadangan for the team that may come last in that group. Again, we're playing Sunday against Swan. It depends on who we use. Again, this Saturday, and we've used a few lads already in the mid-championship as well. But the games kind of went on, so it is. But then Swan's in the south, when he scores 1-8-9 there in the game, you know. So looking at that, like again, kind of so much more than what's on the score. But we always, if you're always competitive enough in the arena, like, went out last year against Lauren in the first round and upset him, you know, so it is. We'll give it a rattle on him for sure. And if you expect Burgess more for Killadangan, many of Killadangan used in the A so far, there's two injuries there. the one in North Games in the end, but should you put a few B lads for that?
They're almost like two completely different panels, Sean. I think they kind of separate them out at the very start of the year, and unless they really need to, they won't take anyone.
All right, fair enough.
And Burgess are just after coming down from Den Breen, so you'd imagine they're going to be, they should be too good for Kildang and second team Group two again has three North teams and a mid team: Clanachinney in the Mines, and Newport and Temple Derry. Clanachinney in the Mines could be a tough enough game, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think both those teams will really be eager to get off that winning start, with the two, you could say, bigger teams and in the last two games. Silver Mines were very poor against us. I think they were so reliant again on Jason. And a few young lads introduced, maybe down at that level, maybe they'll be a bit more of a benefit. Clanachinney, I'm not sure the results Clanachinney had in the league this year, what sort of shape they're in, but I'd say that'll be a tight enough game. I think both teams will fancy it.
Yeah. The other game then, Newport, who were beaten Shames Arena final last year, and Temple Derry, who started very well in the North Championship before, I suppose, limping out then in was it the quarter final? Probably disappointingly from their own view. But again, that'll be a very tough game between two decent hurling sides.
Yeah, it's a bit of a derby as well. There'll be close neighbours as well. So Temple Derry, I think they just kind of threw in the towel against Bursley after winning an absolute epic against Roscarre. But I think I was saying it to you after they won the Roscarre match in the podcast, like they've done this over the years, and then the next game they've went out and limped out of it and not produced what they're capable of. I think they've nearly got a full team out. I think they're missing Derek Carey, maybe, who was a bit of a loss for him. But Newport put up a fairly good show against Nina and the North Championship. I think they were winning at half time. So like they've had a lot of confidence from the run they had last year, and they have a good team. I think Newport might do enough there. I think.
Yeah. Group three of the Seamus Arena, Sean Tracy's versus Killinall in one game, and Gortnahu the recently up from intermediate against Ballina. Again, it's very tight. The Tracys, they relegated Ballingarry last year. They put up a decent performance against Clonalty, scoring 2-13. I think it was 21 points to 2-13. It finished in the West semi-final. So, and then Killinall is obviously, they'll be coming off the back of winning the South and a good win over Mullinahone. So it'll be a tight game. Probably fancy Killinall maybe to come through it.
Yeah, you kind of fancy Killinall to pull through. It said there, like, Bubba's kind of has had a good year overall for club account so far, so he could be a difference in that. And the other game is hard to know. Gortnahu come up, they earned it the hard way, to win the intermediate, get up along. And then Balnair kind of an upcoming team, to be fair, at underage and that. So that'd be a very interesting game to see how it goes. So it'll be hard to call. If we're going Killinall, I'd probably go Balnair to sneak the other game then.
Yeah, and in the last group in the Seamus Arena, then we have Laura and St. Mary's and Portrow and Cashel. Laura did quite well, didn't they, in the North Championship, put up a good performance. And then Mary's will have they obviously have Seamus Kindy. I think they did they play last year? No, they didn't play last year. I saw St. Mary's play Ballina last year, and St. Mary's were quite decent. But Laura seem to be improving year on year, don't they?
Yeah, they've built on to getting to the Oireann final fairly well. Like they play Bursley in the North Championship, and I think they're actually running that up until after the second half water break. So, you know, they've a very pacey team, and John McIntyre's over them, and he's getting a great tune out of them. I don't know much about St. Mary's. Look, they've still got a young enough team from the minor team there. About, was it 4 or 5 years ago? They won a couple of minors in a row. It's always tough for them up against the football. So I'd imagine Laura would probably be looking to top that group. They probably should be building on the performance against Bursley. They seem to be confident, so I probably fancy Laura in that one.
Yeah, and it wasn't much between Laura and Porto last year. They them no, even their own game. So, and Cash Count, that's a cracking group kind of on paper when you look at it overall. Where things are kind of coming at.
Yeah.
Portrow and Cashel then is the last game in that group. And Port, I suppose they're always a tough dogged team, but I think Cashel will have, probably have their sights on winning the Seamus Arian this year. So, I mean, if they are to win it, they're going to have to win this game, aren't they?
They're going to have to win it, yeah. Do you think they're ready? I'd say maybe you were saying there earlier that, you know, it'll take time for the new lads to bid in. I'd say it probably will have an effect on them as the games come and there's a bit of adversity put up against them, like, and there's these lads on the pitch that maybe you don't know as well, and there might be a bit of skeleton in it as well. But I'd say Cashel will be happy to get out of the group and maybe get a good run into a semi-final or quarter-final for the first year anyway. But Portrow are dogged enough, and they're not long down out of Dan Breen. Yeah. They'll be hard to beat. Like, they're an experienced team. I'd actually back Portrow on that, to be honest.
Yeah. I wouldn't know enough about Portrow now of late to know how they go against Cashel. But I suppose, look, it's just going to be interesting, I think, over the next 6 weeks to see how Cashel go in their three games and will they improve over the time.
What did you think of the makeup of the team, the positional changes with the lads?
It wasn't too bad. I think I'd probably prefer to see Ger Brown out in the middle of the field. I think that's where he does his best hurling. Now, I know he is carrying a hamstring injury. He had it wrapped up. So, and he only came on for the last 10 minutes of the semi-final against Aroge. So he does have a bit of an injury. But I'd probably like to see Devon more involved in the game. I mean, we saw at under 20 level how he played fierce well for Tip. But again, what's his best position? Is a corner forward or wing forward? You know, he's kind of out in the wing with Tip and maybe more loose and Roman, like, whereas he played kind of corner forward last weekend. But with the Bonners as well are hurling fierce well. Con Bonner is in the middle field, Ross in the full forward line. Ross is captain, and two terrific hurlers as well. But then they do have a couple of young guys around them. I mean, Dan Maloney is only 18, he's hurling wing forward, and I think Aaron was on he's 19 on the other wing. Like, so they do have a few young lads around the place as well. So I suppose, look, it's kind of a learning curve for them, but I do know they have aspirations of winning Seamus Arian this year, and I suppose they'd have to when you put that kind of talent into your team, you know. So but as you said, I'd like to see him with a bit of in a very tight battle and see how they come out. I think that's kind of what we all want to see, really, you know.
and
see how it goes. But yeah, interesting groups in Seamus Arian, and very hard to pick a winner. Intermediate hurling lads will fly through them. Group one, the group of death, two divisional winners and potentially a third. Mine versus Borsa Cane in the first one. Drum's second team against Cap White in the second one. Mine are obviously all year in, year out touted as the best team in this competition and haven't won it. Now won the mid handy, Sean, but can they drive on now, do you think?
They can, but it's kind of in a group there, Burst Kane, that won't be easy starting off that first game. But like, it's hard to go past them again, say it every year, but they are one of the best teams. It's like Gartner was caught last year. And Burst Kane have that kind of senior kind of level about them, so it'll be interesting. It's hard to know. I presume Cap White will enough for Drum. From second team, like, kind of having a bit of issues there at the moment. They don't even feel a junior A team there recently, so it's hard to know where they're at, but then it could come out then and blow you out of the water as well, so it's hard to know. But the first two games, you have to kind of fancy mind to overcome Borsa Cane if they keep the momentum going there.
But Borsa Cane, they're obviously another tough, dogged north side, and you might know more about them. When we played them 2 years ago in Kilcommon at the end of the draw, and Borsa Cane won't be easily beaten, and I suppose from the outset, before any draws were made, you would have said mine and Borsa Cane were up there as favourites for the competition.
Yeah, Borsa Cane, they're in that grade a long time now, but you know, they've had a few good runs in the competition, but I think they're just struggling to get over the line. They still have some very good hurlers there. They've Gary Ryan there, I remember, he used to play underage with Tip, and Philip Austin is still a focal point for them in an attack. The young lad of Larkins there is a really good hurler.
They're
a very, very young team. There's kind of they're missing an age bracket there in the middle, kind of between 23 and 28 or 9, and they just seem to have a lot of experience with a lot of young lads sprinkled in there, so they're never going to be an easy task. It's hard to know. Yeah, it's hard to look past. Hard to look past mine, but they have aspirations of winning the county, I think, at this stage. Yeah, they'll be hard to beat. Yeah, yeah.
Sure is, and then ourselves and Drummond, the other one, I suppose a lot will depend on how we're hoping that Drummond is there, as is in the senior game, is a very tight affair and.
Five subs for each team.
Yeah, you have to use all the subs, you know. And look, if you'd have asked me 2 weeks ago how I would have said we were going bad, I think I did say we were going poor. But the last 2 weeks we showed a lot of fight, and obviously winning the divisional title at the third time of asking, it would have been a real killer if we'd have lost another final in the grid. So I think we're carrying a bit of form into it. I hope we do get the 2 points Sunday evening. To win that game, and to set us up for the following two games, which won't be easy. Group two, then Kickhams and Ballybacon, Grange and Carrick Davins and Moneygall. Again, Kickhams and Ballybacon, they played last year in the quarterfinal, I think, and Kickhams won it. But Ballybacon, we had played Ballybacon, and they're a tough side, and Cummins pulls a lot of strings for them, Brendan Cummins. And I don't know, I don't think he played in the South Championship, but I'm sure he'll be back in the goals for the County Championship. And Kickhams in, obviously, without the transfers, but I mean, they're, Kickhams showed well at the start, but they were poor now the day they played us in the semi-final, but were without Kieran Breen, who has concussion. I hope for his sake that he's back, but Brendan Ryan, I think, is after doing a cruise ship, so he'll be out for the year. So it'll be interesting to see how Kickhams get on. Davins and Moneygall, in there, you said Moneygall were going well, form team up in the north and the intermediate.
Yeah, they're starting to come good again, Moneygall, the last few years. An injection of a few good young lads, young lad of the Corwins, and they've Joe Fogarty there after in their 20s. And Sean Kennelly, who was very good for the minors last year, and he's scoring very heavy for them. I think in the last game he scored 2-3 or 2-4 against Shannon Rovers from play. So he's putting up great scores for them. Davins won the junior a few years ago. Hardy team. I don't know if they have the same amount of hurlers Moneygall have at the minute. So you'd imagine Moneygall will have enough to beat Davins in that one.
Yeah. The way things are going, you would imagine that they would indeed. Group three of the Intermediate Championship, Sean Borlahan and Mile Rovers, two losing divisional finalists. Golden, obviously, they have three losing divisional finalists in that group, and Kilsheelan, it makes up the Borlahan and Mile Rovers. I suppose from the offset, you would have said Borlahan going on last year. I mean, Mile Rovers were in the relegation final, Borlahan were in the semi-final of the championship itself. So you'd have to say Borlahan, but then went down quite badly at the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And like, one thing what I think for me the grade is like picking the teams end up in semis last year, start of the year. We're on about they wouldn't have picked them, and this year there could be shocks again. So you kind of go on current form, and Borland may have been in a better place last year than this year. That's not to say they won't go out now this weekend there and on Saturday and beat my Rovers, but Golan kind of sick enough now after losing to yourselves next time. They want to fight back, and again, like, but then if Kilsheelan can hold Jack Leamy there in the forward line, it's hard to see their threat. Like, so if Kilsheelan, I presume, were. Would have watched that match or been at it, it might have no inkling of how to get over Golan there.
Yeah, I mean, Kilsheelan would be no bad side with the two Mahars and the two Kyos. Do you know what I mean? They have a couple of names that can win games for you. Andy Burns obviously got injured last week in the West Final. He'll be a loss to Golan if he's not fully fit, because he does kind of make them tick a bit. He's the older head there, and he's able to grab a game by the scruff of the neck, whereas Jack is obviously only just kind of coming into his first year in it. But yeah, it'll be, I suppose, going on form, you'd have to say Golden, but it'll be that's a repeat of a semi-final there from 2 years ago as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So that'll be an interesting group overall as well. And then the last group in the Intermediate Championship sees Ballinahinch North teams again, Ballinahinch and Shannon Rovers, and then Ballingarry and Arval Rovers, who are the junior champions, newly promoted. Inda, do you know much about Ballinahinch, Shannon Rovers?
Ballinahinch, they've been a decent team at the grade for the last 10 years. I think they're still a bit too reliant on the likes of Shane McGrath and they're not really producing the players to push them on to win a county title. Look, they'll probably fairly comfortably stay in the division, but I can't imagine that there'll be any great shakes come the knockout games. Shannon Rovers, you'd be expecting a bit more from them. They've been fairly poor this year so far. They've shipped a couple of beatings in the group, North Intermediate group, and they got fairly well beaten by Moneygall in the semi-final. So I think it could probably be a shootout between themselves and Aravail maybe for the second spot. But look, there'll be good matches in that group again.
Yeah. Aravail Rovers are very unlucky in the West semi-final against Golden. They were 6 points up coming down the stretch and managed to lose it by a point, and even had a what many would consider an easy free to level it at the end, which was driven wide. But they certainly performed well after coming out, after winning the junior. But they're on that run, I suppose, because they're training since May, whatever it was, 7th of June for that junior championship and won it and had the bounce off of that. Ballingarry, just first year down intermediate and managed to win the South. So I'd say that'll be an interesting game. It'll to see where a team coming down out of Seamus Marine, team coming up from junior, whereabouts they're at, because sometimes it can be hard to get your feet in the grade, can't it?
Yeah. Intermediate grade is probably the best grade in the county, isn't it? Like, year on year, you don't know who's going to make a run, and it's very hard to pick winners in most matches.
That's for sure. I mean, like, only look at last year's relegation. Golden and Kinsheelan, who had both been in semi-finals the year before, were nearly in relegation. Golden War, and ourselves, we were in it, and Mile Rovers, you know, and then anyone can win it. We've seen the Sayers went on a run, Sean, there 3 years ago and won it, beat Cashel in the final. The following year, the Tracys, we beat Tracys in the first round of the West Championship, and they didn't lose a game again then after that, because it just fell right for them. So it's
Curtin Hoo last year, like, so it is Curtin a condition Hoo, yeah. that teams get a run to get momentum, and it's unreal. Like, if anyone goes to me, here's a tenner and point in the winner, I just say, here, bite your drink.
a very even grade. Yeah. So look, there's 16 teams in each grade. That's 48 teams, so 24 games. Sean is going to do off by one of his famous spreadsheets with the 24 games on, and we'll pick our winners, and from week to week we'll see how it's going. We'll have a bit of crack with that. I suppose we'll have to mention the fancy hurling, and although I'm looking here at the top 10, I don't see your name on it, so you don't really have much to be bragging about.
I didn't want to win it out. I just wanted to beat you and Sean. That's all I was saying.
I came last at it, I presume. I haven't logged in to show.
typical excuses. So yeah. in a very competitive last week, we had an Italian winner, lads, Marina Fusella, from Dulwich Harps in Italy, with a score of 1.75 to overtake Shane Hassett and take the title. So, Marina, if you're listening,
there's postage there be expensive now, don't you? We dug this deep.
Typical tight Turles, man. get in contact with us on Twitter or email podpremierview@gmail.com, and we'll organise to get your jersey out to you. Second place, Shane Hassett from Drummond Inch, who had led there for the last couple of weeks. And third place with a huge score in the last round, Dean Bergen there from Galtee Rovers, 212, which brought him right up the table into third place, finishing with a score of 1.435. But Hurler in the Ditch there, down into fourth. Inda has a rude smile on his face. 1.426. So quite a competitive league, and something we'll probably look at again next year.
Hurler in the Ditch, get on to us there and give us your address and your...
Yeah.
We'll send you a little something there.
Inda Tracy, just outside the top 10 there in 11th place. A score of 1.354, and there I am down in 26th place, 1.267, with a horrible score of 80 in the last week. But I wasn't a turncoat, and I put all two players into my team. So I mean, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm not going down through all the pages trying to find Sean Smith's name on the last page. Very embarrassing out in Charlie Sayers, man.
I kind of didn't read the rules correctly.
Yeah. But we do have to go back to Tumi Vera for our bogey prize. There at bottom of the table, Paul Tracy, Una's Milk Wagons, a score of 814 points. A dismal from the SNC coach to the Turk, Tumi Vera's in Ireland.
Yeah, he's a bit of a shambles now. I'm gonna have to say that to him. I actually forgot about him. Did he beat you, Sean? Surely not.
No, he was last. He was propping up the table. So next, lads, Camogie at the weekend. They're in their fourth semi-final in a row. They play Galway in Croke Park. Enda is going to speak to Dennis Kelly, a selector on the Camogie, and we wish them the best of luck at the weekend.
So joining us now to preview this weekend's All-Ireland Camogie semi-final between Tipperary and Galway is Tipperary selector Dennis Kelly. Dennis, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Enda.
Hard-earned victory against Waterford at the weekend, Dennis. It was a really scrappy game with very windy conditions, playing a big part. Just glad to get out of there with the win.
Yeah, delighted to get out with the win. We knew it would be a bit of a banana skin there. You know, meeting them again for the third year in the quarterfinal stages. So we knew it would be a tricky one. And then played against the wind in the first half and found it going quite difficult. But we came to terms with them in the second half and got the victory. So we're happy enough now going in under the radar a bit into the semi-final.
Coming into the first half when you knew you were playing against the wind, was it a case of curtailing them as much as possible and keeping the score as level as possible?
Yeah, we just tried to get to terms with their game plan as well. I suppose they were pushing up a lot. They might have been overly interested in getting scores, but they were marking a lot of our girls tight and just getting the feel for the conditions. And, you know, we kicked on then in the second half after that. But look, it was a tough game. But it hopefully stand to us now this coming weekend when we go to prepare.
Yeah, so another semi-final coming up this time in Croke Park, probably a game earlier than you expected. Obviously, we weren't expecting it until the football was called off. Everyone must be excited for that.
Yeah, there is good excitement now, as long as we bring our A game to it. You know, there's no point in going up and getting overall by the occasion. So, look, we're working on that, and girls seem to be, you know, the pressure is off a little bit now because you have, you know, you've got to the semi-final again, and everyone expected us to beat Waterford, and we've done that now. So I think the pressure valve has been released a little bit. And, you know, I hope now the girls can go out and express themselves in Croke Park at the weekend.
Probably would suit us a bit more, kind of Waterford were playing a sweeper in that game, trying to curtail our forwards. We'd expect Galway to be a bit more open and might suit us a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we're not sure. They get a lot of defenders behind the ball, but they don't go a full-out sweeper normally, you know. So, look, these things can change too. But we're really looking forward to it now. It'll be a different game again, and we'll have to, you know, step it up a few notches to have a chance.
Familiar opponents, obviously, you played them last November in the semi-final. That'll be a tough nut to crack again. And I suppose the way the semi-final went last year, there was a lot of injuries, and you seem to have more of a full deck this time and more continuity coming into the match.
Yeah, look, there's three or four more girls there that weren't there last year. I know I was at home sitting on the couch last year watching it, but it was disappointing. You know, the scores were low and I suppose the girls missed a few chances that they'd normally put away. But still, you know, you were down some key personnel like Orla Dwyer and Nicole Walsh and girls like that. So, look, we have a much stronger plan, you know, albeit we're down Claudia Quirk and Sarah Friday, but we've kicked on, you know, seamlessly without them. But, you know, at this stage now, it kind of gets a bit more serious. You could do with everyone, you know.
Probably highlighted a bit more the last day with the likes of Cate Devan, Nicole Walsh, probably not in the game as much, and they're the leaders on that team, and other players stepped up to the plate, like Eamon McGrath and Arena Friday.
Yeah, look, we need that, and we've been working on that all year. You know, still caught, she chipped in with her freeze there, and she was, you know, she takes a lot of minding from the opposition. And, you know, the freeze, some of them freeze and 45s and things that, you know, they're vital, and you can see other teams, you know, coughing them up and not putting them away. So that's a vital part of it. But look, it caught us as a target on our back for the last few years. So it's up to the other girls now to step up and you know, do their bit as well.
Is this game going to be a case of going with the tried and tested plan and personnel that served you so well so far, or will you be looking at tweaks tactically to Taylor for Galway?
Yeah, look, we're always looking at tweaks. We still have, you know, we only used three substitutes the last day. So, look, we'll be looking to have the five ready to go, and we'll be maybe tweaking things a little bit. You know, there's no point in going in with the same plan as you've had all year, because, you know, things need will change in front of your eyes. So, look, we have to be ready for every eventuality, and hopefully we're getting there now at this stage.
And I was talking to Bill there last week before the Waterford match, and he was complaining a bit about the three-week break between the group stages and the quarterfinal. That might work out in your advantage now with Galway having had a four-week break since their last game.
Yeah, look, they're probably a little bit rusty, and we're going to target the start of the game. Definitely, because, you know, we've seen it ourselves there. You know, it's hard to, you're inside training amongst yourselves, but it's not the same then as a championship game. So, look, that might, you know, go against them for the first five. But look, we know there'll be a serious challenge. You know, I know some of their management team up there and they'll leave no stone unturned. So, look, it's going to be hopefully a humdinger. And, you know, if we can get over it by a pint, we'll be delighted.
That breakthrough has to come sooner or later into the finals since 2006, since we've been there, same since we've been in Croke Park. What a tie it would be to get it done in front of a big crowd. And it's great to have the games have been put up there and in front of a big crowd, isn't it?
It is. It's great now. And hopefully, look, the crowd will travel as well. You know, you're talking about tickets for €5 there for kids and 15 for adults. So it's, you know, it'd be a great day out in Croke Park, and it's not costing a fortune. So hopefully the tip people will travel, because this team they've really caught the imagination a little bit there with the play they've been playing during the year, and the style that they've been playing, and the high scores they've been getting. So hopefully the people who come out to support them and shout them on, it means a lot to the girls when they get a big buzz behind them, you know. So fingers crossed we can do the business for the people of Tip.
How are you in terms of injuries then, Dennis? We had worrying sight of Mary Ryan going off with the elbow injury there at the start of the second half against Waterford. Would she be okay to play?
Yeah, we're hoping anyway. We're going to hang in there and hope that she's right by the end of the week. Aoife McGrath as well is carrying a bit of a knock. She's an injured hand and leg, but hopefully everyone will. You know, it's a smaller in semi-finals, so we'll give the girls every chance to be ready for it, and hopefully we'll have a full day come Sunday.
Hopefully the Tip public get behind it. It's been a tough year for everyone involved with Tipperary at every grade. So they're our last torch lighting at the moment, and our last chance of an All-Ireland.
Yeah, that's it. Look, it doesn't matter whether it's hurling football or camogie or whatever it is. You know, we're representing Tipperary, and the girls are proud of that. And they've been talking about that during the week. So look, if you can at all get out and support them or get on and watch the match and send on your messages, because it'd be great to get to the All-Ireland with this team. They've been there long enough, but there's no guarantees either. You know, you don't get handed a place in the All-Ireland final, so we'll have to work hard for it, and that's what we tend to do.
That's great, Dennis. Best of luck anyway, and hopefully you're in the All-Ireland come next week, and I'll chat to you again.
Thanks very much, Andy.
And that's all we have time for this week, folks. Thanks very much to Enda and Sean for joining us. Hopefully, when we talk to you next week, Camogies will be in an All-Ireland final for the first time since 2006. And Tipperdor na boo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.